This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
The stresses that come with engagement. But a lot of people, when I did, some comments really riled me up.
Hold on, when you got engaged, they go, yeah. Why?
I suppose in a way, people want to be sold a dream and a fantasy. Why do supermodels that are women have to be like 17 years old and really underweight and then dressed as like older women? Like even Britney Spears was 16 and Hit Me Baby One More Time. It like blows my mind. And then you had like 30-year-old men like pining over her. And he said to me, because we're selling people a dream, rightly or wrongly so, we're selling them a dream.
That's why we see all these reels online that it's like, if he hasn't proposed to you within 6 months, he hates you. And like, if you're still going out with your boyfriend for over 5 years, your relationship is dead. Like, wake up and smell the coffee. The amount of reels I've seen that people are like, wake up to the reality, your boyfriend's just not into you. How is this normal to say that to someone? You know, the question of asking somebody why someone isn't proposing is honestly just so rude, in my opinion. It doesn't make sense to me. You'd never say to somebody like, but why can your husband not provide the sperm to give you a baby?
Yeah.
Why can your wife not hold the baby? Why is it normal to be like, why is he not proposing to you? Is there
why
something wrong?
Why can't you breastfeed? Why can't you have two children? Why can't you do this? And like, it's always like...
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Oh my God,
you.
I have to sing the whole thing.
Happy birthday to Rona. Happy birthday to you. Woo! What would you like for your birthday this year?
Do you know what? I chose to spend it with Shivani Powell. That's what I just said to you. Like, that's how comfortable and happy and loved I feel by this Wonder Woman. But yeah, I think birthdays are like a really weird one. I said to you, like, this year, I mean, I don't know how you felt turning 30, because I think that was like a really, I felt really weird about it. But now I think I'm like on the side where I'm like, oh my God, I'm like 3 years away from 40. And everyone's like, I had my influencer friend, he's like so beautiful, she's 30. And she was like, love the way you look the same age as me though.
You know what I mean? You look so young, it's a joke. Like you do not look 37. I mean, I think when you turn 40, I'll like die. I'll be like, you're so old.
Let's just, can we channel that we're both going to be like J-Lo, right? We're 50.
I think you will.
Yeah, babes.
I think
come
you,
on,
will,
you will,
for sure.
You've already got, but like, the celebrity
for
thing.
For Rona's birthday present, can you all like and subscribe to this podcast?
Because yes, please, everyone.
We are talking about something very important today, which is the stresses that come with engagement.
Yeah.
And I think that a lot of people, I recently got engaged, if people didn't know, but a lot of people, when I did, some comments really riled me up.
Hold on, when you got engaged, they go, why?
So I think let's talk about
that really
pre.
Surprises me.
Yeah. Oh my God. Because I must have got, I don't know, maybe like 30% of the messages from family and friends. And yes, from family and friends, 30% of the messages were finally. And then on Instagram, when we were in Paris and I hadn't posted that we got engaged, I got 4 messages from people.
Randoms.
One of them was somebody I knew and was like, I really hope he proposes. Or like, I'm waiting for the proposal. And I was like, for a second, because I dealt with so much stress before, I was like, imagine if he didn't, how you're going to make somebody feel. Like he did. Mm-hmm. But if he didn't, imagine how you've just made me feel. And I think that's what I really want to talk about, because I shared that on my story and so many people resonated. So I'm just going to give you my experience and then you can tell me yours.
Yeah. I also want to say as well that I think it's really interesting, because we were just talking, as you know, about the age thing as well. And it's like, I feel a certain different type of pressure to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
At 30. So I definitely want you to like talk about that as well, because I know that you said you'd experienced some of that.
Yeah, so let's start on that actually. When I turned 30, I honestly never thought that I was going to be like Joey from Friends. Oh God, I always refer Friends and you never know what I'm talking
about. I do, but I feel like it's so overrated. But anyway.
Okay, we're just going to move past that. It's your birthday. I'm going to be nice to you. I never thought that I would be like, oh my God, why am I turning 30? What a disaster. I'm so old. I think the societal pressures, which we spoke about in our last podcast, if you haven't watched it, go watch it. It's a really good one. But I think the societal pressures really, like that day, just like imploded on me. Like I honestly just felt like, I'm not married. I don't have a house. I feel insecure in so many aspects of my life. Mm. I'm unstable with my career. Like, zero part of my life was stable. And even though I've chosen this career and I love it and it's the best thing ever, it is still unstable. And 6 months ago, I was in a very different position to where I am now. And so I felt at that time it was all of these things were coming at me, which everyone told me I would have stability. I'd be settled. I would know exactly where I'm going with my life. You know, I think we classify 30 as like having so much knowledge and knowing everything and you've figured it all out, because your 20s are your time to figure things out and your 30s are when you know. And I didn't know at 30, but and that killed me.
I have to say I disagree. But first of all, I want to just put some perspective. It's so funny because all the things that you classify as being not happy, but
yes,
like
settled.
Like settled.
Yeah.
I have. So for example, like I bought my first flat when I was 27.
Yeah.
You know, I had a career I was very settled in. You know, I bought my practice by the time I was like 31 or whatever.
Not making me feel better right now.
No, no, no. But what I'm trying to say is that I look at you and I actually am like, oh my God, I've achieved nothing compared to Shivani. Like, obviously, like, I'm so proud of you as it was, but I'm like, huh? I need to up my game. But
that
yeah.
Is so long.
But yeah, but that's the thing. It's like perspective. I was like, she's so young and look what she's achieved. And I haven't achieved like an incredible like following like her, or I haven't been able to like achieve like all the other things like that I see you achieve. So it's really funny how we compare ourselves yeah. and how we see each other like through each other's eyes, because I'm always like, Shivani's my inspiration, you know. And I talk about like Chrissy as well, as you That's know, so like cute. Being so young and have achieved. So our own view of achievements is actually incredibly subjective. Do you know what I mean? And
100%.
I think the settlement, like as in being in a long-term relationship and then having a proposal, for me really wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think people were like, wasn't this the happiest day of your life? I was like, I know my person. And actually, I feel like I failed society. And the reason why I failed society, because like you, I was 30 and single. I just come out of a toxic relationship. And then I thought to myself, I'm going to tell you something. I thought, I think I'd rather die than be single. I thought to myself, if I turn 30 and I'm still single, I'm going to take my own life. Like, I was so like hurt by it all, because I was so afraid that society were going to judge me, that people were going to reject me, and no man would ever love me because I was on the shelf. Can you believe that? And so by the time I met my person, I was 32, even probably like 33. So when I met my person, I was like, you know what, like, I've already kind of gone against society, so if it works, it works. So when I knew, I was like, I don't care what society think. And now I'm actually in a different stage, because for you, the pressure for me is about a baby more than the marriage. Does that make sense?
And I think I'm putting pressure on myself around the baby as well.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't frozen my eggs. You know, I did before we did our podcast. I didn't even know what that bloody was. And I think that there's so much that's so deep, and there's also so much, like, I don't want to share.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I'm, like, not there yet. I'm
and
working
you don't
want to,
like,
through
jinx it.
It.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it's also that, you know, I think on this podcast, I think people forget that it's like we are talking from our own experience. And sometimes when you're in the thick of an experience, it's so difficult to talk about it, because you don't want to say something and share something that you haven't necessarily digested and then had time to reflect on. But that makes me so sad, what you just said yeah. around the societal expectation. And I do think that that still exists, because the amount of messages I had from people being like, I felt the exact same way. I felt so much pressure. I felt really upset. I'm sad for you that people are saying finally. I mean, the first family friend that congratulated me, her response was finally rolling eyes.
Mm.
Like, how do you think that's a normal thing to say to someone? Can I just say...
Such a jellyfish moment. You
can
know
I just
mean?
Say, we were dating for 3 years. As in, I met him and we got engaged 3 years on.
Can I
From the moment
you know,
we met, not even like the moment we were like, let's date and be boyfriend and girlfriend. The moment we met. I don't think that that is a crazy amount of time for people to say, finally.
But you know what? I want to say something as well, is that I'm going to ask you something, because you obviously know. Do you think that the expectation is stronger amongst certain cultures? Because through my friendship with you, I'm learning so much about Indian culture.
Yeah.
And obviously I've come from Middle Eastern culture, but I was basically shunned from my dad's side of the family, who are Egyptian. They basically cut me off. They blamed my mum and said my mum was a failure because I haven't married and had kids yet, nor has my sister.
Right.
And that's, again, like in Middle Eastern culture. But I do think Middle Eastern culture is changing somewhat, because also, like, you're even seeing in Dubai, where people are like somewhat, I suppose, like even more into their culture than, like, for example, Lebanese people, who are considered like more liberal in the Middle East. But, you know, like now, like, they'll come out and be like,
I'm getting divorced. You know what I mean? Which again was a massive stigma. Like, do you remember when we were at school, having friends that had divorced parents was like the biggest taboo. Like for us, it was like they have divorced parents. Like no one gets divorced. Do you know what I mean?
I don't even think I know any friends at school that had divorced parents, right?
Yeah, but I know as well. We were talking about one of your friends, and I think you actually visited her in Dubai. But I know that she's of Indian heritage, and you were like, oh, you know, she had a divorce, and it was like quite a normal thing. Like you said, this is what happened. You were like, this is what's happened in her life, and that's it. And it was like an understanding that there was a marriage. But what I'm trying to ask you is do you think in Indian culture times have not moved on?
It's not that, it's the age. It's not that. It's not about, if I was 25 and we were dating for 3 years, it would be totally acceptable. In fact, if I was 22 and we were dating for 3 years, it'd be like, oh, it's a bit early.
Yeah.
It's because I'm 30 that everyone is like so mortified that we didn't get engaged sooner. And this links to the point, and this is what drove me absolutely nuts, is people saying, well, he would have known.
Oh, that's just such BS. Because by the way, the other thing is, like, I've been with my partner for 6 years now. Like, so when he proposed, it was on the fifth year. He was waiting.
Mona's just announced something.
Yeah, no. When I, like, yes, there we go.
Mona, do you have something to share?
So,
just like slid it in there. Yeah. You just haven't told anyone.
So the thing is, like, for me is, like, people assume, but I have always been, just like you, so private online. Yeah. I really feel that that is a part of my life throughout every relationship I've ever been in. That part of my life is so sacred to me. And it's really interesting because my colleague, Aram, he said to me, he's like, I have mad respect for you that you don't need the validation of like strangers on relationships.
For sure.
And I was like, I know, but I was like, but I want people to know me. And I have to say, I find it incredibly weird when people like build accounts as well, where are like relationship accounts, like on social media. Do you know what I mean? Like, look at us. Like, you know what I mean by that?
I see.
Like,
yeah.
And then you're like, is this real? And then you actually hear things like offline about what their relationship is actually like. But I suppose in a way people want to be sold a dream and a fantasy.
Yeah.
And you know, I was talking on my podcast, you know, Mind Movers, I had an incredibly famous model that was huge in the 90s come on, and he's an amazing human being. And I was saying to him, I was like, I don't get it. Like, why do supermodels that are women have to be like 17 years old and really underweight and then dressed as like old women? Like, even Britney Spears was 16 and Hit Me Baby One More Time. It like blows my mind. And then you had like 30-year-old men like pining over her. And he said to me, because we're selling people a dream, rightly or wrongly so, we're selling them a dream.
100%.
And Karl Lagerfeld almost got cancelled, as you know, got cancelled, because he basically said, why would we have overweight middle-aged women on the screens? We are selling people a dream. And people were like horrified, because it's all about inclusivity, and I'm all about inclusivity, and I want to see people of varied size and ages. But I suppose it's a dream that people want to see, the majority of people. And that means online as well. And to be honest, Shivani, your engagement, the photos and everything, I know your relationship with your partner, it is very real. I've been friends with you guys, etc. But also, did you see how much engagement, as in, like, I'm talking about algorithm engagement, it got that post, even compared to your other stuff, because it's a dream. It's the Eiffel Tower. It's this and that. Do you see what I mean? And I think people love that.
Honestly, you summed that up so perfectly. I actually talked about this in another podcast. My engagement post got more likes than my TED Talk, my billboard, and my podcast with Stephen Bartlett combined.
Yeah,
it was double my billboard and double, like triple my billboard and triple my TED Talk, which I think is like more groundbreaking and more something to be proud of. And look, don't get me wrong. I think this is where people are going to be like, oh, so why did you two get engaged if you hate your fiancés and you're not obsessed? I think the thing
like,
is,
and also we're in love.
Exactly. Like I've said, I don't need to justify it. Like, I don't care if that's what your belief
is. That's why I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. But the point is that the people want to be sold a dream. That's why these easy, quick fixes are sold on the internet. Drink this because it will make you feel better. Take this supplement, it will make you feel better. Do this one exercise and you're going to manifest all this money in your life. It's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't happen like that. And I think that, you know, for me, the reason why I posted it was I share so much of my life. It's actually quite funny. A lot of people don't realize this maybe so objectively, but like, I have to upload a podcast and then a personal photo so that the podcast stands out on my grid.
Yeah.
So when someone looks at it, they can like see what the podcasts are. And so I was like, if I don't upload that we've got engaged, people are going to be like, you hate him and you hate marriage anyway. Yeah. So that's why you didn't upload him. And look, he is a whole part of my life. And so because of that is, that's why I uploaded it. But I also just think that, yeah, I agree with you. You don't need to showcase every element of your life. You know, I'm not going to go into the story of how it all happened and everything that did happen, because there's some things that you want to keep private and it's special and it's nice to do that. But so going back to the pressures around before the whole engagement thing. I don't think it's a cultural thing. In fact, I was actually speaking to someone recently and he was white. And he said that his older brother had been dating a girl for like 7 years and he hadn't proposed yet. And him and his girlfriend had been dating for 4 years. And he was like, my parents so desperately want one of us to get married that if he doesn't propose, I'm going to have to do it. Mm. And I was like, wait, hold on. So like, are you ready to get engaged? And he was like, not really. But like, my parents are getting really stressed out. And I was so shocked because obviously I only think about this from an Indian perspective. But actually, it's just not true. It's just the people I know and have open conversations with. But he was like, my parents are putting so much pressure on him. He doesn't really want to. So I think I'll just have to do it. And then recently he was like, oh, thank God he proposed so I don't have to do it anymore. And I was, in my head, I was a bit like, I don't really know if it's my place to say, but like, you shouldn't really propose because your brother hasn't proposed. So I don't think it's a cultural thing. I think it's a societal thing.
For sure.
That by the time you're 30, or if you've been dating your partner for a certain period of time, you should propose or not. And that's why, Rona, I love it when I say your name. That's why we see all these reels online that it's like, if he hasn't proposed to you within 6 months, he hates you. And like, if you're still going out with your boyfriend for over 5 years, your relationship is dead. Like, wake up and smell the coffee. The amount of reels I've seen that people are like, wake up to the reality, your boyfriend's just not into you. How is this normal to say that to someone?
Do you know what? Like, but the thing is, again, it's like there's, and I talk about this all the time, and I think this is the one time me and you are going to agree. It's all about the nuanced thinking, because I told you, I had a love coach, and I think I've talked about her before. You should definitely look her up. Her name is Natalie Kennedy.
Yeah.
So she talks about how she was in a relationship for 10 years, and then after 10 years, she kind of like freaked out. So it was like from 20 to like 30 or something, or it was mm-hmm. from like 19 to 29 or something. And she actually freaked out completely and decided to travel the world. And she thought, and she went on a break with her boyfriend, and she thought that like she didn't love him enough to get married. And then she actually did all this self work herself. And then when she came back, they actually got back together and now they're engaged. And she talks about the ebbs and flows of long-term relationships. Yes. And I was like, she was amazing, because obviously I've always been in long-term relationships. I've always been in like 5-6 years, like I've had like 3 long-term relationships of the same amount. And I think it's really incredible, because she also says things like, I was like, when people say, you know, when you know, like, what does that actually mean? And I was like, because some people say that after like a week, where I was like, I have in every relationship, no matter how many butterflies I've got, I've always been like, I actually really want to know this person before I marry them. I've never gone on pure physical attraction, because I think you can. Like, I've really fancied someone and they really fancied me. But if I get to know them properly, and I'm talking about after 2 months, and some things just don't like quite fit, I'm not going to just be like, oh, but there's an overwhelming sense of like chemical reaction in my body being like, this is it. And like, that was the thing. Like, when I fancied my partner, like, I really fancied him physically and everything, but it was like his whole character, and also like the mark of like the 1 year, the 2 year, the 3 year, and the 5 year was completely different phases and stages of our relationship.
Yes.
And actually it made me feel a lot better. Like, I just don't think it's ever in my character to have like a shotgun wedding or a shotgun engagement. Does that make sense? And actually, when I said to her like that question, like, you know, if you know, like, why do people make a decision within a week? And she goes, all it means is, you know, if you know, is I'm confident in the decision that I'm making. And you know what? It's so true, because I have friends from uni that did like these shotgun situations, like, oh, you know, if you know. And they're divorced now. Yeah. Do you see what I mean? After 5 years, because they didn't really know the person, or the person didn't turn out to be who they wanted it to be.
For
and what
sure.
I'm trying to say is, some people, look, my parents got engaged after 6 months and they're still madly in love. We talk about this.
Yeah.
Every situation is new, unique, and that's why I say you have to be nuanced about it.
For sure. This is, I think you're right, this is the first time we'll agree that
it
is on a range. But you know what, the other thing I found really frustrating, and I think I see this online as well, is people always say, but what's wrong? You know, why is he not doing it? You know, the question of asking somebody why someone isn't proposing is honestly just so rude, in my opinion. It doesn't make sense to me. You would never say to somebody like, but why can your husband not provide the sperm to give you a baby?
Yeah.
Why can your wife not hold the baby? Why is it normal to be like, why is he not proposing to you? Is there something wrong?
Why can't you breastfeed? Why can't you have 2 children? Why can't you do this? And like, it's always like the blame on the woman. And I think it's, and you know what? I'll tell you one thing, Shivani. I doubt very much that men get asked the same questions. The reason why I bring that up, have you watched The Ultimatum?
No, what's that?
Oh my God, it's so good. So obviously,
is it a movie?
No, but you know, do you remember Nick Lachey from back in the day?
Yes.
So he's got a wife now. I think they were both previously married before, and they created this program called The Ultimatum. If you love Love is Blind, you'll love The Ultimatum. So what happens is, in The Ultimatum, it's actually a bunch of couples, and one of the person in the couple
gives the ultimatum, but it's not always the men. So it's classic things like, we've been together for 3 years. If you're not going to propose, I don't want to be with you. So what they do is they get these couples. So like, say there's 10 couples, and within that like month, the couples break up and they have to date other people within the situation.
Stop it.
Okay, so but this is the interesting thing. So Nick Lachey says, according to psychologists, ultimatums are not the best way to get the person to do what you want them to do, but it is the best way to get your answer as quickly as possible, right? So what happens is that some of these couples, some of them are women, is what I'm trying to say, is in like the man is giving the woman the ultimatum and she's holding back for whatever reasons. Does that make sense? And then you have vice versa. But what I'm saying, it's very rare for a man, imagine like your partner getting DMs or questions from family being like, why haven't you got married yet? Or like, you know, they might say like, they might ask it in the reverse, but you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah,
you know
sure.
what I mean? Like,
for
yeah.
me, I think it was always made to feel like there was something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, is he not committed to you is what somebody once said to me. Mm. And I was like, I just responded being like, I'm just gonna like push back on that for a second. Like, do you think that's a nice thing to say to someone? Mm. Also, I was just getting so frustrated because it was like, we haven't been going out for like 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, we met 3 years ago. So yeah, what I didn't understand was like why there was such an emphasis that something was wrong that he hadn't proposed.
Yeah.
And that was really hard for me because what I always explain it as is like, I grew up for 28 years of my life thinking that I'm a failure if I'm not married by the time I'm 30.
Same.
And I had to learn and reprogram my mind from the ages of 28 to 30 to believe like, it's okay, you've got other things going. Marriage isn't the only goal. Like, stop asking me when I'm getting married. But then there are days, like everyone, that I feel shit about myself. Mm. And I feel like I'm worthless. And I feel like I'm not good enough. Mm. And on those days, someone would feel the need to tell me from their perspective that I am all those things because I'm not married. And why am I not getting married? And why is somebody not committing to me? And why is somebody taking so long? And why does somebody not like me enough to make the decision quickly? We associate speed with love.
Success.
And speed with success. You rise to the top quickly, amazing. You get engaged after 3 months, oh, you know. But for a lot of the times, it doesn't mean that way. A lot of times you'll see people rising to success because they've taken millions of loans out and they have so much debt, and then it all comes crumbling down. And that's not the case for everyone.
So I want to actually read you something because I was going to post it today for my birthday. And I don't know if you've seen this before, but I think it's so relevant. And I didn't plan to read this, but I want to do it. New York is 3 hours ahead of California, but that doesn't make California slow. Someone graduated at the age of 22, but waited 5 years before securing a good job. Someone became a CEO at 25 and died at 50. Someone became a CEO at 50 and lived till 90. Someone is still single while someone else got married. Obama retired at 55 and Trump started at 70. Everyone in this world works based on their own time zone. People around you might seem to be ahead of you, and some might seem to be behind you, but everyone is running their own race in their own time. Do not envy them and do not mock them. They are in their time zone and you are in yours. Life is about waiting for that right moment to act. So relax, you're not late, you're not early, you're very much on time.
Love that.
And that's the whole point,
beautiful.
Do you know what I mean?
But what also, a lovely quote.
Yeah, I know, but you know, this is the whole thing. And like, some people might get married at 25, divorce by 35, and meet another love of their life at 50.
You never know.
You know, you just never know. And
never
I think
know.
It's like, we've got to stop. Like, where did it come? And I blame Disney, as I told you, that you get married at 25, you have 5 kids or 3 kids or whatever, and everything's fine till 30 and you just live the perfect life. Do you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
I like find it completely wild. That,
but we love selling a dream, Rona.
Yeah, it is.
People
true.
Don't find
but
this conversation like, oh, is it the dream?
Dream? Is it the dream? Because
no.
what I understand now that it's not necessarily the dream. Now, you might ask me and I'm going to say, do I wish I had kids earlier? Because I think that's what's at the forefront of my mind. I think I do. And I think for me, marriage then became this thing that I was like, whatever. As I said, if you found your person, you found your person. Having children is like the more stressful part for me because mm-hmm. as I told you, like biologically, even now when I'm like tracking things and looking at things, I'm like, oh my God, like it's all this stuff coming up online, like how difficult it is to conceive after 35. And I think like that's the kind of, that is a societal pressure, but I also think that that's a biological
Correct.
Pressure. Do you see what I mean?
Correct.
Whereas like there's a difference to that. And I think the more difficult thing is that as we know, both of us, some women don't meet anyone until they're in their 40s and they can't have children. And I think that's difficult.
It's really hard. But what I will say is I'm grateful every single day that I waited. I'm grateful every single day that I waited and I found somebody that I really love, rather than meeting somebody or being with the person that I was with at 25, having a baby and being so miserable. Picture your life this for a second. I know you're stressed out about having kids, and I think that's completely warranted, and I think that's fine. And the horrible people will be like, yes, that's what we're telling you, find someone earlier. But what can I do?
Exactly.
Do I wish every single day I met Nicole when I was 23? I wish I met him at 21. I said this. I said this actually. I was like, we met at the wrong time. I wish we met at 25. And he was like, no, we didn't. He was like, no, we didn't.
You were different people then.
We were different people.
Completely, Shivani. You were a different person, and he wasn't. Also, for men particularly, like, my partner and I met when he was emotionally unavailable, did not want to commit, and was like a fuck boy in the city. No, honestly. And then a year later, he came back when he was ready, because he was like, you're not the kind of woman to mess around. I had always been very clear about where I wanted to be. And the thing is that I had a university sweetheart between 21 and 27. And again, the trolls were like, I can't believe he didn't propose. Well, he went to go buy the engagement ring, but he was also Peter Pan, and he was not the one for me. And I didn't want to be living that life of like being behind the DJ booth and stuff like that, you know, with a trust fund kid. Yeah. Sorry if he's listening. But, you know, like, he was amazing, but he was my youth. And to be honest, like, you say you've got it figured out in your 30s. The older I get, the more I get figured out. And like, I didn't have things figured out. But the sad thing is that I considered like taking my own life when I hit 30, because I wasn't married with kids. And I have to tell you something, there's a really famous Bollywood actress that I went to school with. Yeah, and when she was 25, she took her own life, because she also was infiltrated in her mind in Bollywood that she was too old.
Yeah. And I think this is the thing, we've talked about this before around pressures. The one message I want people to take away from this is, I cannot emphasize enough that you have to do what is right for you, and you cannot be influenced by other people. And that's not easy. Trust me, I had many moments where I was like, I honestly don't know what's my opinion anymore and what's right, because I'm not joking. It was every single day, every person I met would ask me about my engagement and when I'm getting married and about my relationship. And it got to the point where I was just like, am I unhappy? Like, I honestly was like, am I going mad? Like, am I delusional? Like, am I an idiot that I have been with him for 3 years and he obviously doesn't care about me and he doesn't love me and he's not committed to me? Like, am I going mad? And this is the problem that I also found, was like, I was so happy, and it was like other people were making me so unhappy. And the thing is like, this is why I also think that it's better you meet someone you're older, because I was able to communicate this with him.
Exactly. He wasn't like silent treatment.
No.
Yeah.
I was like, by the way, these people keep saying that, it's actually killing me. And we would have a conversation about it, and he'd be like, and he would actually like work through it with me.
But can I ask you something? If he didn't propose, would you still continue the relationship? Would you have a cutoff point with somebody before they proposed?
This is a really difficult question, and I'm going to be really transparent about it. I am so obsessed with the idea of having children. Like, I want to have...
And you would never have them out of wedlock.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I actually think that my deeper purpose in life, and I think everything that I ever want in life, is children. I've always said that. I love my career, but I definitely want to be a mum. I'm going to be 31 in July. And I know that this is a different situation from you, but you have frozen your ex. Mm-hmm. So like, I haven't frozen my ex, right? So I'm going to be 31 in July. Now, also, people are going to be like, oh my God, so you're not going to have any time to just like have you two. This is why we dated for 3 years,
so you
and went on holidays and we did really fun stuff and spent our life basically like in this honeymoon period, because I knew, and I had a conversation with him very intentionally, that when we get engaged, I wouldn't get married very quickly. Mm. And I would like to start having kids very quickly. So when you say ultimatum, for me, it wasn't that I was like, if you don't propose, I'm going to leave you. It was like, if you don't propose, it's going to put us at risk of not having kids because of my biological clock.
Mm-hmm. And can I ask you another question? Again, just because fascinated by it all. But also, in Indian culture, is it a stigma to have a child without being married?
Yeah, but I also wouldn't personally want to do that.
Yeah, it's no, like, I know personally, but I'm asking that, like...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, so, but it's...
I don't know anyone who's done that. I mean, it would be shocking. No one. Also, there's still...
Whereas, like, I'm sure you could think of loads of people that have even been on your podcast. I can already think of three that have already had kids out of without getting married.
I'm not sure who you're talking about, but yeah, probably.
Yeah,
probably, yeah. It's a very normal thing for a lot of people. Yeah. For, I think, in my community, in my culture, absolutely not.
Yeah. So ultimately, I think, like, the thing is, it's interesting because, again, I'm always conflicted. Like, growing up with Middle Eastern parents in the UK, I've always had, like, really conflicted values. And my parents' family were, like, very Catholic, etc. But I think for me as well, getting older is, like,
when you find your person, you just know, and you're just in this state of complete like comfort and ease.
Exactly.
You work at it together.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing that people asked me actually when I said that we were doing a podcast, some of them were like tooth related questions, which I find really funny. So I'll ask you about them separately because this is not a teeth podcast.
Oh, like are they asking about teeth?
Yeah, because I was like, doing a podcast with Rona today.
Do you know you've come teeth goals? I've actually had like 3 patients come in because of you teeth goals.
They're the best. I'm going to get them.
But it's really annoying because some people are like, I want bonding. I'm like, you're not suitable for bonding. You need veneers, you know?
Yeah, I was literally like, I'm not doing Invisalign, Rona. I don't have commitment issues with that. Anyway, some of the questions that people asked me today were, are you going to live with your partner before you get married? Now, again, this is personal preference. And I know people think I'm like very modern and like, you know, have no traditional values. I'm also just saying like there are certain things that I've wanted to do. And I personally only want to live with him after we get married. And I actually don't think it's like Indian married, registry married. Once we're married, I would like to live together. And that is also because, much to people's surprise, or if you know me and you've been watching this podcast for years, you'll know I'm not really into a big wedding. Genuinely, if I had it my way, when we got proposed to in Paris, I literally said to him the next day, like,
registry,
shall we go and get our wedding vows and just do it? My idea of a wedding should be like your nearest and dearest. And for me, that is 50 people, 100 people max, like at your wedding. Unfortunately,
your family have got involved.
Indian families are very tricky to navigate. And I understand because they've had to go to loads of people's weddings. They want to invite their friends. They want to enjoy. And I think like an Indian event is like quite big. Mm. And so I have to compromise. But if I had it my way, no, I would not have a big wedding. And I think I would want to get married and then live with him immediately. Now, the reason why I think the living together situation I want to save for the marriage is because I'm not so bothered about the wedding day. I'm probably not going to have a lot of input into it. It's probably going to be something that is organized outside of my, you know, remit. And because of that, I really want to look forward to living with him because that's the thing I'm most excited about. Like, I'm so excited to live with him because we've never done that. And so that's why I'm kind of like coupling them together, because otherwise I also feel that like if we were living together, I'd be like, okay, cool. So see you tomorrow at the altar. And then also we'll just come back together and watch TV again in the same space. But that's just a personal preference. And I think, again, everyone has their own personal preferences.
So what happened was, is my parents were super traditional. And my mum was like, absolutely, under no circumstances can you live with anyone before you get married. Because her theory was they get too comfortable and never propose.
Right.
Now, after being with my partner for 3 years, he basically was like, it's actually a deal breaker for him not to live with someone before he proposes because he wants to know that he can live with someone. Whereas my mum was like, and I was also with my mum on this, it doesn't matter if they can live with you because if they'll make it work if they love you. That was kind of the vibe. But anyways, we did a like compromise. And because of the lockdown situation, we kind of ended up sort of living together because we just had to.
Yeah.
But what happened was, is that it was actually like one of the best things for our relationship because we never see each other anyway, like because of like our time schedules and like our time zones. And like you've been to my house, like I just love the little home we've built together. Nice. And it's so unique to us. And I think it's like so fantastic. And I love that. I feel really like safe, etc. And for him, it was nothing to do with him committing to me long term, as you know. But for him, it was really important to see how you live together with someone, which I think
it's normal.
I actually do
think that's normal. But it's like, because I've been conditioned, I feel like I can't unlearn everything that I've been taught. There was like certain things that I had to unlearn and certain things I was just like, okay, well, look, I'm not like so fussed about that. And I think this is the other thing is people think like if you want to learn one thing in your life, you have to unlearn everything. And that's not true. But we went for dinner actually with one of our friends recently. And at the table, I said, well, how long were you guys dating before you got engaged? And he was like, 5 years.
So same as me.
And I said, so when did you know? We were like talking about the engagement story. And he was like, I knew after 6 months to a year. I can't remember what he said. And so my question was, well, why did you wait? And he said, wait for what? And I was like, well, why did you wait to propose? And he was like, I wasn't waiting. That's what I wanted to do. It was done with intention. I always wanted to date her for 5 years before we got married, because that dating period is never going to come back.
Yeah.
He was like, I always knew I was going to marry this girl. I always knew we were going to have children. And I always knew that I wanted to be with her. When people say, why are you waiting? He was like, what do you mean by waiting? He was so confused at my question. And it was eye-opening because everyone thinks that you're waiting to get married. He was like, I wanted to date.
Yeah.
I wanted to have times where we had no responsibility in our life. What's wrong with that?
I mean, I know a guy that he proposed to someone after 2 months because he was like, it's just the one and I know. And they were divorced 6 months later.
Do you know what I mean?
It's look, like, and look, Rona, it also happens where people do that at 2 months and then they're married forever. Amazing.
That's what I said, my parents.
Yeah. And so, like, I think the point is that his story...
Everyone's story is different, which I say, like, everybody is different. And I really think that, again, like, I always go back to the sunscreen song when it comes to us. Like, maybe you'll marry, maybe you won't. Maybe you'll get divorced. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Yeah. And he goes, but... Whatever happens, do not congratulate yourself or berate yourself too much because your choices are half chance and so are everyone else's. And the thing is, the most difficult thing about a relationship is that you are with another person.
Of course.
And the other person, like I had someone again, like, you know, they got married after 2 months and they were together for 10 years. And then he literally had some like enlightened experience. He basically had an accident and decided that he needed to end the marriage and become a monk. Okay. Like imagine, you know, and like left her. That was not her choice. She did not want that to happen. But what I'm trying to say is you never know what life is going to throw at you. You just don't.
You never know. And I think like that it's so shocking to me that society expects us all to have the same path, but we have billions of books in the world and people can't even be bothered to read the same book twice. Mm. Yet you want everyone's story to be the same.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. And actually, it's the more colourful, varied stories that we all look into. So, like, the thing is, it's so funny because I definitely don't feel like I want a big wedding, but I more want like a big like beach wedding. But I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to just do like the legal situation in the UK, have a kid and then go from there.
So you're going to have a kid before you do your like big official, like not official,
big,
but like
the big wedding, like celebratory.
How is that with your parents? Are they okay with that?
Yeah, because as long as the registry is done, I think they like, again, for me, I was not so bothered about like the baby out of wedlock at my age.
Yeah.
But for them, it was really important.
Yeah.
So we were like, okay, because I told you, like we were just like, you know, you're my person. So like, it doesn't matter.
It, honestly, in the end, it literally does not.
Yeah.
Like, even if I think I got pregnant now and my parents obviously would never speak to me again, but they would get over it. Everyone gets over it. Yeah. I think like there's this idea that like, how shocking if you have a baby before you get married. Like, you're going to have a baby with them forever.
Have you been watching Love is Blind?
No. So, what is it?
Have you not even heard of it?
I don't know anything about it. I know what the title is. What is it about?
So it is trending. So basically what happens is that again, it's a bunch of people that are all in their 20s, some are in their 30s. And the idea is they feel they are totally ready to meet the one. Now, the whole premise of it is that they date somebody. So they get like 10 boys, 10 girls, completely different personalities, completely different looks. And they talk to each other through a wall, right? So say you were single, you're put through here, the person's in the pod and you go on a date every single night with this person, I think for like a couple of weeks or a month or something like that.
Without seeing them?
Without seeing them at all. Okay, just wait for it. And then if they feel ready, the person then proposes. And then, but then they have time to like know each other when they like see each other. And then they decide whether they go down the altar. The mind-blowing thing about this program is that some people have actually gone off and got married to that person with knowing them for like a month or 2 months or whatever, how long the program is. Wait for
what?
It. And it's actually lasted. But like, a lot of people don't do it. And obviously, then you have the whole like Love Island effect. So anyway, there was this guy called Jimmy on it. And basically, it was really controversial because there was this really beautiful girl on it called Jess. And she was talking to him and she was like an absolute babe. And like, she basically told him, I think she was 32 or 31. Maybe she was 30. I can't remember. Anyways, he was 27. They were, and he was basically, he liked her, another girl. And then she was like, listen, I got to tell you something. After a few weeks, she was like, I have a daughter. And he was like, you could kind of see his face drop. And then she said... he was like, it's not a deal breaker, but you can kind of see that it was. And he ended up choosing the other girl. And when they came out of the pods, because then they have a reunion, you could tell that he kind of regretted his decision. But it was really interesting to see how people can react. And I also think that's like an interesting one as well, that people might choose not to be with the one on that emotional connection because of something that they consider to be a deal breaker. Does that make sense?
Do you believe love is blind?
No. God, no. And it's really interesting because you see with some of the people, some of them are like, oh, you know, when the door opens, like your voice doesn't match your face, you know. But it's just a really fascinating experiment. Like, yes. I really love watching it because people get to really know each other, which I think is really important. Like, I've always been that person. Like people joke that on dates I used to come with a clipboard being like, so what are your life goals, what's your intentions, because they get straight into like the deep stuff, right?
Which, yes, so
like,
do I.
But like, I was never that person. Like, I don't drink, so I'm not gonna go for like, I used to like pretend to drink if I couldn't be bothered to explain it the first date. But also,
Do I think Love is Blind? No, I don't think Love is Blind, because I think that also attraction is not just based on personality. Because also, like, it's even simple things like the way someone smells. And also, you can have a really good-looking person and not fancy them at all.
100% the way they carry themselves as well. Which
energy.
Is so...
And you can have an average-looking person that you really fancy. Do you see what I mean? Because of the way they are.
Yes, 100%. The other thing that I think is a little bit controversial is, do you think that an engagement should be a surprise?
To an extent, but I think that when you like reach the point that you and I are at, you know it's coming, but obviously it should still be a surprise.
Correct.
That's what I mean. So like, for example, like just like you, because we've had conversations and you were like, me and Nicole have discussed it.
Yeah,
and
it's, we did like, for like a year
and
a half.
Me and my partner did too, do you know what I mean? So I knew it was coming, but every time I was on holiday this summer, I was like, I just naturally thought it was going to happen.
Same.
In like the country that... And so I was really shocked when it did happen,
because
it's totally not the setting that I thought would happen in.
Same. I like literally...
I mean, I didn't have an Eiffel Tower, but you know what I mean? Like
the extent that he went to make sure that I didn't know, honestly, it's so hilarious. I was fully convinced we were going there for a business trip, but... You every time we'd go to like we went to Tulum, I was literally just like, is it going to happen? It was like, no. And then like there was one time
I literally was like in this beautiful setting in Greece, babe, and there was like a white horse that like came gallivanting like in the woods where we were having dinner, and I was like, oh my God, surely this is like so magical. Do you know what I mean? And like it didn't.
Yeah, literally, I used to think that on the beach, but this is actually really interesting, because I said to him, I was like, obviously the day of the proposal is such a wonderful day. It's like so joyous and so amazing. But I did say to him, I was like, when we would go for our walks on the beach, like at sunrise, I literally have never felt happier. Like it was the most amazing thing in the world, because I felt like on that trip, it was the first trip we've ever been on holiday where we didn't work or have work meetings. And I felt like the connection that we had, like simple thing, like going for a walk at sunrise, I felt just as happy. Yeah. And that's why I was like, I actually didn't expect him to do something like that, because I always said like my dream proposal wouldn't be something so crazy. I always said I wanted to be surprised and I wanted to be thoughtful. But I think that there's a lot of pressure for men as well to do like a massive proposal.
And the ring.
And the ring. And also the pressure of having to look after the wife too. Mm. Like a lot of the time, you know, we talk around societal roles for women, but there is a massive pressure for men to save up for the ring, save up for the house, save up for the honeymoon, save up for looking
but
after
I think
you.
Nowadays, but listen, look, we are in a position where we're, by the way, note to everyone, we are in a position where our men want to look after us. So for all of you that said that we would only date simps because we're strong, empowered women, no, our men want to look after us.
Rona.
Which, by the way, it's true. Like, you know, like people are like, oh, because you two are such independent, strong women. Like, no, actually, men that are strong and powerful and like in their own way and like proud of who they are and not intimidated by women like us. I'm just putting it out there, because people are like, you're going to end up with men that you just walk all over, which is complete BS. Now, but having said that as well, like my sister's in a partnership. My sister is completely different to me, and she's like much more progressive in some senses. Like she's always been in relationships where she's very 50-50 with the guy, but she really likes that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know? So I don't think she'd be in a position where her partner would feel like he'd have to completely look after her. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah,
you
but know? I do think there is that pressure generally a lot for men as well.
I think, but again, I think it's also like a cultural thing. Like,
for sure.
I know like as well women in relationships that are the breadwinner, whereas like I've never grown up with women being the breadwinner in any relationship. I've just not grown up with it, do you know what I mean? So,
and I actually do think it's definitely a cultural thing on that as well. But what I'm saying is like there is just so much to think about, and I think the problem with like the pressure of engagement is like I was really happy that we had these open conversations about like, where are we going to live, what are we going to do, what are we going to do about this, when are we going to do that, because I think people are so focused on the wedding day and the show of it rather than thinking about your actual life.
Yeah.
Like some people genuinely just want a wedding and they don't want the life. And I think that like...
But I think I did that before because we built the life together before.
But that's my point is like, I don't think that like you can be focused on like both at the same time within a short period of time is what I'm saying. Like I think that like there's so much pressure to do things quickly. But actually I think the most important thing is to think about your life together and actually see if you're going to be compatible in your life together. And we're not saying we're like relationship experts or dating gurus. This podcast is really just to really emphasize that there is so much pressure for both men and women pre-engagement, and we need to start talking about it to debunk these things, because I felt really alone, and I felt like any time I brought up that I felt pressured by other people's opinions, people would be like, well, if you're secure in your relationship, why do you care? And I was like, So you're basically saying that if someone tells me every single day that I'm not worthy, that like I should just ignore it.
Yeah. But I think it's just crazy. And look, I would love to be, I've always said a life goal of mine is to not be touched by other people's opinions. And I have met people like that. I really have met.
I would love to be like that.
But those people have done certain types of work, which I believe takes a lot. And actually those people have been broken in different ways from life that has like led to them, you know, having to be like that. But unfortunately, I think that like I'm still in the state I've always, we've talked about some other podcasts, like validate, compare and despair, etc., you know. So for me, I think it's just been like a difficult one. And I think that, you know, we are going to be to some extent affected by the words around us.
We are. And I think that it's normal to feel like that. But the one thing I just want to say is that don't feel you're not good enough or you're not worthy if you're not married by a certain timeline. I think for me, it was like really checking in on myself and be like, why do I believe that? Okay, I know it's because of this. I know it's because of this. This is a deeper issue. I will also say that it came up many times. Like my conscience was like, I know that this is right. And like, I know that I don't want to rush and I know that I'm comfortable and I know that I'm happy. My subconscious was constantly affected by the beliefs and the thoughts that I've been programmed to believe. And I will also say is that everyone always says like, you'll know and he should know. And he if he loved you enough, he would make the decision. Knowing something is very different to setting yourself up for success. How do you know that people aren't like saving up to buy their dream flat? How do you know that people aren't saving up to buy their dream ring? How do you know people aren't saving up because they want to make this the day really, really special? Mm-hmm. How do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
How do you know someone's financial situation? There are a lot of people right now who are struggling with the cost of living.
But everyone thinks it's a fairy tale. Everyone thinks it's literally like Cinderella, do you know what I mean? Or Sleeping Beauty, and it's just like one kiss and then you're married the next day, you know what I mean? Like literally. And it's just
one
so...
One kiss is all it takes.
But it's absurd. Like, I do have higher hopes though for like the younger generations, because I think that the conversations and the realities and stuff are more in line with what real life is like. I really do. I have higher hopes for them and the younger generation. And as I said, those conversations, like those TikTokers, it's like the Wild Wild West, as you know, on our like social media posts. But to be fair, like they call things out.
Yeah.
They don't want to just like adhere to like societal norms. They are the generation that challenge things. So I have higher hopes than us Disney lot. Do you know what I mean? They're like,
no,
watch this
and
be like, this is it. I was watching Pocahontas the other day. Have you seen it?
No.
The Disney one. No, you've never seen it.
I don't remember it at all.
Yeah, I didn't remember it at all. But I was just like, again, like John Smith like whisks her off her feet and you're just like, this is literally a girl in a tribe. And if you read the little story, she was 13 and he was like 30, so gross. Exactly.
What?
But Disney made it into a fairy tale.
Yeah,
you know,
classic. Yeah, honestly. Yeah. I think the other thing is that I had a lot of women that were saying, Shivani, I'm in my late 30s, I'm in my mid 30s, and I am regretting not settling. For me, in your relationship,
but you can always say that in hindsight, and it's
please the one thing, settle on anything. Please don't settle on your relationship. Like, that is genuinely like the one thing I would say to anyone. Like, if you are not proud to be with your partner, if you feel embarrassed of your partner, if you don't feel that you are 100% sure, this is your life. You have one life. And I actually saw this podcast and someone said, this is a very simple way for you to figure out if you truly love your partner. Mm. If someone said, you're just like him, would you see it as a compliment?
Yeah.
I would see it as like the biggest compliment.
Oh my God,
and
no,
honor.
But I would also say like he's much better than me.
Like, same. I'd be like he's the nicest person I've ever met.
Babe, you've met,
like,
you've met mine.
Yeah.
Like,
and like, I'm like, I'm not 1% nicer. So if someone was like, you're just like him, I'm like, oh, compliment. But if someone said you're just like him and it's about like your ex-boyfriend or somebody that you are unsure if you should be with, you're going to be like, ooh, I don't want to be associated to them. It's like, if you actually want to know if you like, if someone likes someone, you just have to say like, oh, you two are really similar.
Yeah.
And their response will be like, oh, no, I'm not. Don't say that. And it's like,
no, I'm literally like, he's better than me a million times. But I have to say, I disagree with you. Like people... When you say, on the bit that you said that, like, please, it's your life, like, don't say, like, should I settle? People shouldn't settle, but even if they do make the wrong decision, that is still okay. And that's why I believe that everybody has their own story. What I mean by that
obviously
is...
Obviously, it's okay, Rona. I'm just saying, like, if you're in a situation where you're like, I'm 36, I'll just marry the first person I meet. That's what I mean. Like, please don't settle.
And my dad as well, he said, which I think is so important, what he said to me, he goes, so basically, I was in a relationship with someone. Again, it was like a whirlwind type situation. When did I meet him? I think I met him when I was 29. So I was like, great, this is amazing. Like after a month, I was like, he's the one, we're going to get married. And then it was such a whirlwind. We already said like, we loved each other after like 3 weeks or something like that. I stuck that relationship out. His true colours started to show after 4 months. He was a complete narcissist, totally flipping crazy. It was like the worst relationship in my life. I was miserable. I spent days like crying in the shower. But do you know what I said? I'd rather do this than be single and not married at 30. So I was like, just get on with it. That's what I said to myself in the head. Anyway, luckily he broke up with me because I actually didn't have the confidence, but he was just so awful. That's a story for another time. You'd be horrified if you hear the story about how we broke up. Horrified. In fact, I'm going to tell it quickly because it's
go
like
on.
Worth it. Okay. So it all started after 4 months. He basically was like, we came home after an event and he was like, he was really, really good looking. He was like, I really don't like walking in a room with you. And I was like, why? And he was like, because it makes me feel like Hugh Grant from Notting Hill, as in the movie. And he was like, and you're Julia Roberts. And I like the attention to be on me. Actually said that to me. So first red flag. Secondly, when I went on holiday to Ibiza, he was moving from one house to another. And then I was like, oh, you can stay at my flat for like the next few days. I was on holiday with my mum. So he stayed for a few days and that was like fine. And then basically he moved into his new place, decided he didn't like his new place. And then basically that's like when the gaslighting started. And then he started like isolating me from my friends. Like I wasn't allowed to go out. He decided that I wasn't allowed to go to these bougie places like Chiltern Firehouse because he didn't
want
to pay for these places. But at the beginning, he was always like, I love these places, blah, blah, blah.
There's a deal breaker for Rona, by the way. And I was like, don't take Chiltern Firehouse, the private room, away from me, okay?
And then, wait for it, gets even worse. Then what happened was, is that I started finding messages. And then he was like, oh, I need to move in with you. So then he moved in with me. He had a really good job in the city. He decided to quit because he wanted to become a life coach. Expected me to like fund his life, basically. But I was too scared to tell my parents. What happened was, is that I started finding messages on his phone. So he was like sexting ex-girlfriends, all this stuff. Every time I confronted him, he was gaslighting me. Eventually, after a year, it was his birthday and he was like, I want to throw a party at your parents' house. My parents throw really nice parties. But my mum already didn't like him. And my mum was like, why would we pay for his own party? So I messaged him being like, you have to fund your own party. So he was like, okay, whatever. And he was like, I'm not as like high maintenance as you. I don't really need nice food and stuff. I'm like, you're still asking to have a party at my parents' house. So anyways, I got back from India because I was on holiday with my parents. He was cold with me the whole week. And I was like, do you know what? Like, we're having a party at my parents' house. I'll stick it out. Party was on the Saturday. I would have been working that day. Came home, like, he opened the door. I had, like, gifts and stuff. And he was like, oh, you're here. I'm like, I do live here. This is my flat. Anyway, then I was like, how was your day with your mum? And he was like, yeah, fine, whatever. And he's like, you know, we just went for a walk. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I just think there's someone better out there for me. And I was like, right, okay. Party's 2 hours away. And I was like, so what do you expect me to do? My parents have like set up this food, da 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 da. Your friends are on their way because some of his friends were like coming from like Scotland or whatever. And he was like, well, that's it. And I was like, get out, get all your stuff, just get the fuck out. I was like so mad. Babe.
Did you have the party?
Babe, it's so funny. So obviously I called my parents in tears. So he was like packing his stuff away, left, right? And then as he was leaving, my parents were arriving. And then my mum was like, where is the money for Pushpa? Pushpa's our housekeeper because she'd been doing all the cooking. And she like took it from his hand, right? And my dad was like, oh, like I'm, oh God, I don't want to say his name. Sorry, don't want to say his name. Cut that out. Yeah. I was like, oh, my dad was like, oh, I'm so sorry. It didn't work out. And my mum was like, don't say sorry. It was like, you know how my mum is. Anyways, it was,
so
yeah,
funny.
It was so bad, babe.
Dad
and then
so
like
sweet.
The party did go ahead, but I decided to not go. My parents just had a party, but like his friends didn't come. I think he like texted his friends.
That is
my
so
parents had a party
crazy.
On their own at home.
I mean, this is what I mean though. Like in that situation, if he wasn't saying all these horrible things and he didn't kind of break up with you, you would have felt you had to stay with him because it's like,
I don't want to be alone. I was too scared to be alone. But you know what?
I think a lot of people are scared to be alone.
That's when my parents stopped putting the pressure on. Do you know what they said to me? They said, better to be alone than with the wrong person.
That's exactly what my parents said to me. One of the best things my parents ever told me about a relationship was don't expect them to change. Mm. Don't expect them to change when you get engaged. Don't expect them to change when you get married. You have to take someone for who they are because if you don't, you're putting an expectation on them that isn't fair. You can't expect people to change, especially the older you get. People have had years and years and years of conditioning, and that's their character. That's who they are. No one is perfect, for sure. But you can't go into a marriage or an engagement or a relationship being like, if you change this, then I will be happy. Mm. You're delaying the problem.
Yeah, I know. And that's the thing, like, we've done, and that's why I'm so lucky, because, like, you know, when I took my partner to a retreat, as you know, and, like, people were, like, mind blown at how open he is. Like, our communication is so great. And we're, I mean, it's, I think I've naturally chosen a very healthy man because of my dad. Does that make sense? Like, really yes. open, really communicative. And I think that's really interesting. And again, like Shivani, we need to give grace to people that do end up yeah. saying yes to the wrong people because of self-esteem yeah, issues
I agree.
Or because of
I
like
agree.
Familial issues. And it, I think agree. That's really interesting.
I think it's a really tough one. And yeah. I that's why I always think, like, you have to spend time alone to know what you really want.
Yeah.
You have to, like, be okay with that uncomfortableness and the discomfort of, like, not hitting those societal expectations. Mm. Trust me, I did.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's easy. Like, it was so, so hard at points
yeah,
where I was,
really
like...
Yeah, you were really sad
after
your
30th. It was really difficult. Like, my 30th, I spent crying the whole time.
Yeah.
And I just think, like, and even for you right now, like, we have to sit through the discomfort. But life is uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Life isn't always, like, amazing and everything's wonderful and everything fits into this box.
Mm.
Like, if you do want to do things a little bit different, if you do want to carve out your own path, you have to sit in the discomfort. And I think, like, it's easy to say that, but just know that, like, we're with you. Like, we're with you. We've yeah. done it. Like, anytime you're struggling, like, just know that, like, we've gone through it too. And I think with anything in life,
yeah.
there are moments where you're just like, I can't do this. Yeah. How am I going to cope? But yeah. you do have the answers within you. Like, yeah. you're strong and you do have the answers within you and you can do it. And, like, sometimes you'll make the wrong decisions and that's okay. We all make wrong decisions.
Mm.
But I do think in terms of, like, the expectations before you're getting engaged, like, just know, like, we are with you. We went through the same thing.
Exactly.
We're still going to go through the pressures as we grow older. I'm sure there's going to be post-engagement stress yeah. that we're going to go through. And that I think that is just
wedding,
like,
stress, baby stress, because life is not linear.
It's not. And
it's
I think
an ECG chart.
But, you know, I think we'll do another one when it's, like, post-engagement stress or maybe, like, post-wedding stress, because
yeah.
we'll have a lot to talk about on that.
For sure.
I'm just happy that we did this. This is the last time we're going to do this in the studio, which is sad, but not the last one ever, don't worry.
Yeah, not the last one ever, guys.
And, of course, it's Rona's birthday, so make sure you wish her, make sure you like the video, make sure you give us a comment, and let us know if you like this video.
Bye, guys.
Bye.